I have to admit that I've had people say to me, you really like it over there in Wyndham, don't you? Yeah, I do. And they'll ask me what I've asked you. Why? And I can give them some of the same answers that you have given. This church preaches the gospel. We have never denied the name of the Lord. You hold God's word in a high standard. Your love for one another is genuine. But more importantly, your love for God is important and genuine. And you don't come here because of the majestic glory of the building, although it is a nice place. And you don't come here because of the supreme aura of the pastor. I know better than that. You come here because this is where the Spirit of the Lord is. What we have created is a bouquet of praise that we can offer back to the Lord, as I said before, for what he's done in this church and what he's done for this church and through this church. So I would like to begin the next section of our service with a prayer. So if you please join me. Father God, we do offer this bouquet of flowers back to you as a praise offering. Because Lord, since the beginning of this church, you have had your hand upon it. And Lord, we just thank you for the things we have been able to do and the things we continue to do. And Lord, that all of it goes back to you for your praise and your glory. And now as we begin to look at your word, we just ask that you bless it to our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you're not getting out of here without a sermon. So take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read various verses within, or look at various verses within this section. But as I read it, it seemed to me that these verses came alive for this church, which is not something you see in some other churches. So first off, verse 1 says that we have a duty to God and that we are to surrender ourselves or offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is a voluntary act on our part. This is a free will offering that we display. And yes, we're not perfect, but we strive to be holy instruments set apart for God and used for his glory. And as we let our souls be subject to holiness, we communicate that holiness to the rest of the body. And now verse 2 gives us a warning. It says, don't listen to your enemy who wants you to conform to the world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And this does not mean the changing of the substance. It's the idea of changing the quality of the soul. The renewing of the mind means the renewing of the whole person. And as we have seen people come to the Lord in this church, we have seen that type of transformation taking place. And now verse 3 says that we have a duty to ourselves and that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Pride is a sin that is bred in the bone of every one of us. And so we need to be careful. We need to be sober-minded, not to think too highly of our own wisdom or our own abilities. We have to have a modest opinion of ourselves according to what God has given us. And this is another area that makes this church so unique. You know, I don't see anybody walking around with this air of superiority, thinking or saying, I am the most mature Christian in this church. And therefore, yeah, the wisdom I receive comes straight from God and his revelation. Yeah, we don't do that. We understand our position in Christ. But then in verses 4 and 5, we're told that we are to be a part of the body of Christ and that we all have a part to share within that body. As a congregation, we seem to have the ability to walk that line of not being proud of our talents, but not burying them either. We don't say, well, you know, I am nothing, therefore I will sit here and do nothing. We don't do that here. We do say, I am nothing in and of myself, but I will lay myself out before God and be used by him for his glory and the good of the church. And we know we have ministries within this church body. We have quite a few. If you take those prayer sheets, every day there's one listed. But that's just a small part of what takes place within this church. You are not the typical church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I'm amazed at how many people show up for a work day to care of the church body. I'm amazed at how much food is provided at a potluck luncheon. But then after the luncheon, I'm amazed at how many people just get up, boom, 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 start doing, cleaning up, putting things away, cleaning up, and just moving around, putting things away, putting them back in order. And that's amazing to me. But that's the way it should be. Now, verses 4 and 5. Sorry, moving on. Verses 9 and 10. We're told that we have a duty to one another. And that is that we are to love one another. And not just love our friends, but we're to love our enemies as well. And this is a love that is more pleased to see others praised than ourselves. And think about this. How much sweeter can it be to know that you're loved by God and loved by the people within this congregation? But now verse 12 tells us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You folks don't sit here looking like you've been chewing at a bunch of raw cranberries. I love the sense of humor that you folks have. It's awesome. We can laugh at various things, things that take place in life. We can laugh at some of the mistakes we make. But I'm very thankful that you're gracious in that. You know, we're not perfect. We do make mistakes. But you don't approach issues with a critical spirit. You approach them with grace. And as a congregation, you do believe in the power of prayer. And that is evident during our prayer and share time. But now verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. A giving church doesn't say, but tell us your need so we can pray about it, and then walk away leaving the rest undone. I find that if it is within the power of our hands to provide, you will provide above and beyond measure. I think of the shoeboxes. I think of Transworld Radio. I think of branches. I think of the other ministries or missionaries that we support. I think of how you came together to furnish the parsonage for Diana and I. If there is a need made known, you will rise to the occasion. And you're a church that not only takes the opportunity to be hospitable, but you seek that opportunity out. And that is evident during our greeting time and during our fellowship time. If we have a newcomer, a visitor show up, you don't let them stand around going, does anybody care I'm here? You don't do that. You approach them. You engage them in conversations. You make them feel welcome. And as a church body, that is what we're supposed to be doing. And it's so important to do that, to make them feel welcomed. Verse 15. Tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Love shows itself in both the joys and sorrows of those around us as we take them to be a part of our own. And we have rejoiced over some of the miracles we have seen. And we have wept with those who have lost loved ones or who have shared a deep hurt. Because that is what the body of Christ is all about. But now, verse 16 says that we are to live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. As we endeavor to be one body, I see us as being willing to associate with people from all kinds of different backgrounds. People come in and we, again, greet them, we meet them, we make them feel comfortable. We value those in rags as well as in silk, because that's what grace does. And think about this. God sees a jewel, even if that jewel is buried in mud. And think about it for yourself. Where would we be if that was not the case? But now, we are to count nothing below us but sin. Now, I'd like to share with you something else. It comes from the book of Revelation. So if you turn there, please, Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 7. This is where Jesus is describing the church of Philadelphia. This is one of two churches that God had nothing against. But again, as we look at some of these various verses, I want you to picture Jesus speaking to this church. So first off, verse 8. He says, I know your deeds. I know you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. We said this before. But for 30 plus years, this church has never denied the name of the Lord. And you're not some mega church. And so by the world's standards, you might think, you know, we don't have a whole lot of strength. And yet God sees your deeds and he honors those deeds. Now, does that mean that we can sit back on our laurels and relax and, you know, because, you know, we've got it all. We don't need to do anything else. Absolutely not. Take a look at verse 11. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. If you do not stand firm, you will crumble from within. And as you continue to grow, you will need to work hard to make sure that you do not lose what is so precious to this church. But now, what I really want you to see is verse 12. Jesus says, to him who overcomes, that is to those who have endured what this world throws at us, what to those who remain strong in their faith, Jesus says, I will write on him the name of my God. God has guaranteed that he will put his name upon us, and it is a name that we will bear for all eternity. And this name identifies us with our Lord's infinite greatness. Jesus himself is God, but he's saying, I am writing on you my heavenly Father's name. But then he goes on to say that he's going to write on us the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. This identifies us with God's invincible government. As believers, we are a part of God's eternal, invincible city. And wherever we go throughout this universe, we will be recognized as a member of God's heavenly kingdom. But then Jesus says that he will write on us his new name. This identifies us with his inherent glory. But this name is one that no one knows, because it has not been revealed to us yet. In the Old Testament, he was called Jehovah. In the New Testament, he is called Jesus. But there will be a new name that he will have. But we don't know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 states, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And with that, we need to be content. Now, it is a short service. In closing, I'd like to say that Diana and I would like to thank this congregation for being who you are in Christ Jesus, for the ministries that take place within this church, for all of you who just pick up and do what needs to be done. You truly are a unique church, and you have much to celebrate. Now, before I do close in prayer, some things. We are having our church picnic downstairs. There's potluck stuff down there as well. Please stick around. Join us downstairs. Fellowship with one another. But also downstairs, you will find some photo albums that Edie has worked so hard on. They're awesome. Take time to look through them. But she also put together a church history. And so there are, I think, 5 of them laid out on tables, I hope, downstairs somewhere. If not, we'll get them out. But again, take time to look through them, to read them. You're going to recognize some names. You might learn something about the history of the church. So those things are available for you. I think that's all. Let's close in prayer. Father God, once again, we do thank you and praise you for everything that you've done for this church. Lord, this is a unique church. We thank you for your hand upon it for all these years, for your protection of this church, watching over them, guiding them, directing them. And Lord, we want to continue doing that. We do not want to follow in our footsteps. We want to follow in yours. So, Lord, continue to lead us in everything that we do. And, Lord, as we prepare to have our luncheon, we pray that you bless it to our bodies. And, Lord, that our fellowship time, once again, would be honoring unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.